This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi, and with me is Lisa, and today we're going to be talking about a really kind of famous story in the scripture, Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's right before it is destroyed.
What we're talking about is right before it's destroyed?
Yeah, right before it's destroyed.
Okay.
And there is this whole backstory. Lot pitched his tent close to Sodom. Sodom was this wicked place. The Bible describes it as that. And then he lived in it. He got captured. Abraham, his uncle, comes and rescues him through God's favor. And now Lot is back in Sodom, this really, really wicked city. Josephus talked about the wickedness. A lot of it had to do with sexual ethics and a lack of biblical sexual ethics. But it also was just greedy, and it was also just, it was a horrible place. It was violent. And Lot is living in there with the assumption that he can live in Sodom without Sodom trying to live in him. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. Genesis 19:1-3 talks about this, that he's living in there. And there's this kind of anchor verse, because it's not that he's just living in it, but listen to what it says. It says, Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city.
He's sitting there in the gateway, just like what, welcoming people? He's like the welcoming committee?
Yeah, ancient cities, little historical backdrop. If you're sitting in the gates, that's where all the judges... it's kind of like where all the judgments happened, where all the business transactions. It's like the DMV, courthouse, your Walmart, all wrapped up in one is the city gate. So he's actually a leader now in Sodom. He's accepted. He's a part of Sodom.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could say that he got there by accident. No, I don't think so. Not accidental.
No. Remember how he got there. He looked up and went, wow, that place is happening. I'm going there.
Right. He just like stumbled into Sodom. Oh, man.
But it was well known in the culture that place was like a den of iniquity.
Yeah. So it wasn't accidental. His arrival in and his staying there was directional.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was directional. It was him choosing to that. And I think he was choosing for maybe some reasons that aren't evil in and of themselves.
Like, I mean, do you think it took him a long time to get there?
I think it was, first off, he saw it, but he said, hey, this thing has promise. It's going to promise my family security. It's going to promise my family wealth. It's going to give me status. It's going to give me influence. It wasn't just living there. It was going to provide what I think he thought was real living.
Okay. So there he is sitting in the gate. And then what?
Two guys come, and that's all he knows them as, two men. And one of the things is that they're actually angels. We learned that in the chapter before. They're with God. God's bringing judgment on Sodom. They go down to check it out. And Lot sees them coming and invites them into his house. And there's this really cool interaction, which is very Middle Eastern hospitality, that you would invite people, you're supposed to take care of them in that way and really protect them. And they first off go, no, we're fine. We'll just stay in the middle of the city. And Lot's like, no, you can't do that. You have to come and stay.
I mean, he begs them, right?
Right, but why? Why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, we find out in scripture why. Bunch of creepers out there, man. Violent.
Yeah, he says, don't spend the night in the square.
Yeah.
And he begs them because he knows that the city, how it works after dark. He's familiar with what it is. And his urgency isn't just etiquette.
Well, I mean, it's just really sad, too, because for one night, he sees these visitors. Does he know that they're angels?
No.
He sees these visitors. He knows they need protection. He brings them in, but I mean, he's been living there like with his family. We know he has two daughters, right? Like,
yeah.
He's been living there with his family for years. Like, what's he done to protect them?
Right. But he can see clearly in this moment. But if you get into that place of Sodom where it quiets that restlessness of like, that's wrong so much, it just slows everything down and it doesn't feel that bad. And I think
Sodom doesn't feel that bad.
I think for him, it's just normal life, right? And it's a prosperous life.
Hmm. And maybe easy, a little easy.
And easy. Yeah. You know, his wife can go shopping anytime she wants because he has means. They have probably servants. Life is pretty good. He's a good citizen of Sodom.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that kind of reminds me, like, I don't know what's going on with his family. Like, I don't know much about it. I mean, we'll know in a little bit what's going on with his family. But there, you get this sense that he thinks, like, I can manage this. Like, I have got it under control. Like, it doesn't really affect me. These visitors will certainly be impacted by it. But I think I got it figured out.
Yeah, I'm somebody here. They're not going to harm me. But he knows right from wrong. And 2 Peter tells us that. It troubles his heart, the brokenness of this place.
Do you think he has become like them? Like, do you think that part of it is that he is more like them than he realizes?
I think probably. Because I don't think that you start by going, well, I'm just going to change my convictions. What they're doing is right.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking about. Like, how Lot got to the place where it was easy, where it was comfortable, where he didn't think it impacted him.
I think you start by going and you see it, and it's this cognitive dissonance in your heart. There's a struggle going on in your heart and in your mind, but then you just tire and you go, this is good over here. Look what I got. Look what I deserve over here. And it just becomes a compromise after compromise just to keep the peace, just to be a good citizen. Because I don't think that Sodom, like when you walk into the gates, is like, you renounce your God now and come live as a wild. They don't care as long as you shut up. And he had shut up. And it silenced that more and more.
Well, yeah. And then, you know, after time, you don't even recognize the damage that it's doing.
Well, that it's shaping you. Yeah. It's discipling you. It's saying that's not that big of a deal.
And not just you, your kids.
Right. The text goes on in chapter 19, verses 4 through 9. And they're at the house now. Night has come, but it's not so late that they're already in bed. They're not already sleeping. And then the text says something really weird. All the men surrounded the house.
Yeah, creepers are in the square.
And they say, bring these dudes out.
Yeah, because they want to, I mean, the town is called Sodom.
Yeah, they were Sodomites.
right.
They wanted these dudes.
Yeah.
In a very unnatural way.
In a carnal way.
Carnal way. There's a good word. Yeah. But what's interesting, I think, about that is the whole city gathers.
What do you mean the whole city? It says the whole city, all the men?
The young and the old. So the author, Moses, what is he trying to tell us? It's a cultural thing. This is normal. This isn't like a few bad apples.
Which is, you know, this kind of reminds me of what we talked about last week, where Abraham's like, what about 50? What about 40? What about 30? Right? Like, he had to have known too, right? The depth of the depravity of that place.
Yeah, it's communal. It's cultural. It's normalized. And this is, I think, what happens to any society when it loses its ability to have conscience, to blush, to know right and wrong, to have a society that says, that's shameful behavior. We should not do that. And what happens in that is you normalize it and it goes quiet, and repentance in that, like, hey, this is wrong, becomes really, 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 really rare.
Because we have forgotten or refused to be shamed by anything?
It's like, why would you be shamed if no one else? Like, you have to have people to say, hey, this is wrong with you, to have shame. Otherwise, you know, there's a great line in the movie Hoosiers. The guy says, there's two kinds of crazy. One that goes out in his backyard naked and howls at the moon, and one that does it in my backyard. One I take offense to. But I think the same is true. Like, if no one's taking offense to it, it doesn't matter if you're naked howling at the moon all over the place. And these people are naked howling at the moon and saying, bring these dudes out. And so Lot goes out of the door. And it says, really, if you miss this, I think you miss a really important part of this passage. Lot steps out and he shuts the door behind him. And because he knows what's going on, right? And there's this image here that really, really shows that you cannot live in Sodom and it not try to live in you. Because it's this bridge between these two worlds. It's like he's trying to live two different lifestyles, and compromise always makes you half brave and half blind.
Wow. He shuts the door because he thinks he can, like, they won't get in?
I think he thinks, well, I have influence.
Hasn't Sodom already gotten inside the house in some way?
Right. I think so, but I think he's like, I can protect these guys.
I guess my point that I'm trying to make and the question I'm asking is, like, we're never really living in two worlds. I mean, we can shut all the doors we want, but we're still living in a world.
Yep. Yeah. You can't live in two worlds.
No. So it's certainly a physical protection of the people. I see what he's doing there, but it's interesting, like, mind games that we play with ourselves. Like, oh, I can, you know, swim in Sodom, but then, like, go home on the week. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I can just do business in Sodom, but it's not.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Bible's pretty clear. There's only two kingdoms. The kingdom of this world, which is evil, and the kingdom of heaven, which is God's. And you get to choose which one you will live in and live for. And you can't live in both of those. Jesus was talking about money, but he says you cannot have two masters.
Well, but then after he shuts the door, doesn't he try to appease the people? Isn't he like, don't do, I can't remember exactly what happened.
He says, my friends.
To who? The bad dudes?
Yeah, he says, my friends, don't do this.
Oh my word.
Don't do this. And.
Whoa.
It's kind of chilling because he still wants their approval while confronting their wickedness.
Yeah, and you can't have both.
No, you got to say it and spray it. And he's just like compromise. This is what compromise does. It trains your mind to seek and crave the world's acceptance, for them to define the truth for you that you already desire and want to believe.
Yeah, and then after he does that, he tries to appease them. He's like, hey, whatever.
Well, they turn on him, though.
Oh, my gosh. I have not read this story in a really long time. So this is like, surprise podcast for Lisa.
They turn on him and said, get out of our way.
Okay.
Or we're going to do worse for you. And he does try to appease them.
Because he offers his daughters next, right?
Right, which is.
To the ravenous crowd. Oh, my gosh.
Which he's like, I have these two daughters that are, you know.
And now I think he's worse than the crowd. Like, come on, dude.
Right, because Sodom is living in him. He's totally blind to what he's trying to do. He's trying to bargain with hell. And you can never bargain with hell.
Not even a little?
No, doesn't work like that.
Okay.
You cannot bargain with hell. Here's why you can't bargain with hell. Because you can't bargain with sin. Sin always asks for more.
Sin is hungry. That's interesting.
It wants to spread.
Yeah.
It wants to rot. It wants to destroy. Jesus says that there is one who comes to seek and destroy, but I have come to give you life to the full. Totally different pictures. Two kingdoms. One always is trying to destroy, and that is the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of Sodom. And then there's this kingdom of God who wants you to flourish and wants grace to come into your life and wants to forgive you and wants you to walk with him. Amazing, beautiful picture that we all desire and want. And yet we want at times in our heart's desire is the thing that we think is going to provide us life. And I think that's where Lot is. He thinks it's going to provide him life. And it's not. They turn on him. He offers his daughters. And it is.
But then it doesn't get. Yeah, I mean, the story doesn't get any better. He doesn't solve the problem.
No.
No, because they're still outside.
They're outside. And so these dudes that he's welcomed in the house pull him back in.
Oh, the visitors.
The visitors.
Yeah.
They pull him back inside the house. And here's the picture of sin that's so crazy in this. And they're angels. They physically blind the whole crowd. But what does the text tell us the crowd does?
They're like zombies. They're like groping at the
door.
They're
groping for the at the door.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what sin does. It blinds us, and then we grope at the door of it. It's like crouching right there for us, and we're trying to get in because we believe it's going to bring us life. And it doesn't.
No. I mean, it's just such a grotesque picture, too.
Yeah, and that idea of you can't live in Sodom and not have Sodom live in you is all through the scripture. It doesn't say it in those terms, but in 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, bad company corrupts good character.
Is the verse telling you to like go off into the woods and become a monk, or I guess a nun? I would be a nun.
No, it's telling you to be honest about influence, right? The question isn't do I touch culture? It's what's touching me back.
Can you say more about that?
Yeah, I think there are things that we have input. I think, here, I'm just going to say this, and we may get some callers. We don't get them very often.
Oh, maybe that'd be nice. Get some calls.
Ladies, quit reading these smut books.
I agree. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. What are these books? Do you have a couple?
I do not have any of those books.
No, do you have some titles?
I don't have those books. Yes, I do.
What are some titles that, when we say smut, they're leading you to something that is a fantasy world that is not good for your heart. It is not good for what God has for you. It is not entertainment without cost. Give me some books.
Yeah, well, I mean, anything written by Sarah J. Maas comes to mind. Like, I have. You know, friends who read these, The Court of Thorns and Roses, the sort of romanticy, I think, is the genre that's really picked up. And any of these romanticy books.
Are they like the Fabio books of old?
No, I don't, you know, honestly, I have read very little of these books. But they are kind of like, it's like the new generation of romance girl fantasy. And it is, you know, a lot of descriptions of sexual relationships that are outside of God's design, and they are smutty, and they are they lead you down a path of destruction, I would say, personally, anyways.
Yeah, God's design, his ethic is clear right from the beginning of Genesis. Man and a woman in a covenant marriage. And
well, and not you ladies by yourself out there either. Like, that's the other thing. Man and woman in marriage.
Yeah. That is the love language of intimacy of the scripture. It is a connection that God has designed, and it is a beautiful thing, marriage. And anything outside of that, fornication. That's a good old school
word. That's a good Bible word.
It's a good
one. I said carnal. You said fornication.
I said fornication.
Go team.
That means just, all it means is having relations in the biblical sense before you're married, or neither party being married. Adultery. We would all say that.
Yeah, nobody wants their partner to cheat on them.
No.
No, but for some
reason. And God says no to that. Yeah, right. Bad idea. Don't do that.
Why do you think we're okay with that one? Like, why are we like, oh yeah, that's not good. But then, like, secretly we're like reading smutty books.
I have no idea.
Like, who decided that adultery was really wrong?
The Bible?
I'm just saying, like,
well, yeah, because it's an order. It's creation. It's not desire, passion driven. It's creation order driven. And so anything outside of that, and I mean anything, there is no celebrated relationship that is monogamous outside of a man and a woman in covenant marriage that is prescribed in the scripture. And there, if somebody tells you something different, they are lying. You cannot find it in scripture. It is not there. And so if we get some phone calls on that, I am more than happy to send those.
Well, that's what we find in Sodom, right? That is exactly the what's groping outside the door.
Yeah, a desire for unnatural relationship, man with man. And the scriptures are very clear about that. Leviticus talks about it. Jesus talks about a sexual ethic. It talks, Paul talks about it. It is between a man and a woman, period, in covenant marriage.
We don't really like that, though.
Well, no, because we've lived in Sodom.
I mean, what you're saying isn't really in vogue.
No, because we've lived in Sodom. It's numbed us to
the reality of it. So what are we supposed to do, right? Okay, so we're in Sodom, we're Lot. What do we do now?
Well, I think that if we live a life and continue to live a life of compromise, of going, that's not right, or that is right, which is wrong, which God has already said, I think it destroys things. And it will destroy you. But if you, if we fast forward into this story, Sodom is destroyed. And before it's destroyed, the angels say, hey, this is going to happen. Get your family out of here. Very merciful on God's part for this to happen. And it says that Lot hesitates for just a moment, and then he realizes, holy smokes, we've got to get out. And so he goes to his son-in-laws, and he tells them, and the text tells us, he seemed to them to be joking.
Why did he seem like a joke? That's quite an indictment.
Because his life was a joke. He was living or trying to live in two worlds. And they're like, there's no way. This can't be true. Because his life had been a mixed message, bothered enough to warn him that this wasn't okay, but compromised enough to be unbelievable.
Wow. So what happened? I mean,
you cannot live in Sodom and not have Sodom live in you. So what's the practical step?
Yeah, what do we do next?
Well, we do what he did. You get out. Don't do what his wife did. She got out and looked back.
That's next week.
That's next week. Stop flirting with what's forming you. Just stop flirting with these things that are not of God. Close the door. Run away. Get out. The other loving thing that you can do is tell someone else the truth. Lovingly, urgently, clearly warn them and invite them, not with superiority, because we're all just knuckleheads saved by grace.
I mean, can you imagine the despair for Lot of realizing what he had, like the consequences of his life in Sodom, that he was in fact a joke, that even as he like pleaded for them to come with him, like his words didn't do anything to rescue them. And so like before you get to the place where people don't believe you, you know, speak the truth. That's the kind thing to do.
And the truth is this, we all need Jesus. I think it's in Colossians, maybe the first chapter. It talks about this idea that you were once like this. You were once caught in sin. You were in sexual immorality. And yet there's hope. There's redemption in Christ. There's forgiveness. There's a coming out of this thing that has blinded you into this full life that Jesus promised.
Yeah, I like the passage in Corinthians where it says, you know, lists a bunch of those things that you just said, and then says, such were some of you, but you were washed. And same idea.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm probably thinking of. But yeah, I probably had the wrong street and address. Here's the deal. God wants all of us, none of us to perish. He wants none of us to be in Sodom. He wants all of us to come to repentance. And his kindness is that he showed his love for us, that Christ died for us on the cross, that we could come to faith in him, that we could come to restored relationship with him because of the blood that was shed by Jesus. And so get out, run to Jesus, because just as you can't live in Sodom and not have Sodom live in you, you can't live in Jesus and not have Jesus live in you. That is good news you can use.
Thanks for tuning in with us. If you've got questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to office@evangelup.org. If you'd like to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes, just search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform or go to our website, evangelup.org.